As I begin this program, I encouraged you yesterday to make sure you had a pencil and a piece of paper there, because I want to announce that I have put together a CD entitled Journey Through Advent, and I do commentaries on the four Sundays of Advent. And I wanted to make that available to a wider audience, but I particularly, of course, want to make it available to you. Journey Through Advent. I've put it on a CD, so it's something that you can have close to you, that you can repeat it each day while I go ahead with other programs. You could repeat it each day in your own prayer time and asking the Lord for the grace to be ready for this Christmas in a way that you haven't before. The CD is called Journey Through Advent. It's a meditation on the readings of the four Sundays of Advent. To order it, you can go to our website and order it there, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and order the CD there for $10, entitled Journey Through Advent. So you can go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, or order by phone. Here's the number, 1-734-662-1730. That's 734-662-1730. The CD is Journey Through Advent, the cost $10, and you can order it through our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, or call 1-734-662-1730. Today we take a look again at the Book of Wisdom, and this is the feast of St. Albert the Great. Do you know who St. Albert the Great was? St. Albert the Great lived in the 1200s, and St. Albert the Great was the teacher of Thomas Aquinas. Think about that. He was the teacher of Thomas Aquinas. It said, nothing escaped his gaze. Albert's voluminous writings cover all areas. Listen to this. Science, philosophy, theology, morality. His paraphrase of Aristotle's writings provided the basis for the work of his student, Thomas Aquinas. When naming him a doctor of the church in 1931, Pope Pius XI taught that Albert is precisely the saint whose example should inspire the present age, which seeks peace so ardently and is so full of hope in its scientific discoveries. Read Albert the Great. Ponder him, even one book or one article, one manuscript by him. Look at the incredible mind that God gave him. Thank God for it, that we have such a basis of truth in the church's teaching because of Albert the Great. Though he's not nearly as well known as his marvelous student, Thomas Aquinas. But where would Thomas have been without an Albert the Great? We don't know. May God be praised in all those gifts that he has poured out on us, and especially on all those who have used their gifts to bring people to know him and love him and serve him, either by their words or by their actions. O God, who made the bishop St. Albert great by his joining of human wisdom to divine faith. See, that's the combination. Grant, we pray, that we may so adhere to the truths he taught, that through progress in learning we may come to a deeper knowledge and a love of you. The first reading today, again from the Book of Wisdom, chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. Hear, O kings, and understand. Learn, you magistrates of the earth's expanse. Hearken, you who are in power over the multitude and lorded over throngs of peoples. Because authority was given you by the Lord and sovereignty by the Most High, who shall probe your works and scrutinize your counsels. Every work you do, brothers and sisters, every work you do will be probed and your counsels, your wisdom, your advice, whatever, will be scrutinized, because though you were ministers of his kingdom, now he's having trouble with people here, you judged not rightly and did not keep the law, nor walk according to the will of God. There's your criteria, brothers and sisters. You judged not rightly, you did not keep the law, you did not walk according to the will of God. You need to ask yourself, do I judge rightly? Do I have the right principles to make the right kinds of decisions? Do I keep the law? Do I walk according to the will of God in my daily life? Terrible and swiftly shall he come against you, because judgment is stern for the exalted. You may have all kinds of titles and privileges and honors, but what's important is how God sees you. For the lowly may be pardoned out of mercy, but the mighty shall be mightily put to the test. For the Lord of all shows no partiality. The Lord of all shows no partiality, nor does he fear greatness, because he himself made the great as well as the small, and he provides for all alike. But for those in power, a rigorous scrutiny impends. To you, therefore, O princes, are my words addressed, that you may learn wisdom and that you may not sin. How do we learn wisdom? By the word of God, by studying what the church teaches, by allowing the word of God, the scripture, to inform our lives. It's a living word, to operate by its principles. To you, therefore, O princes, are my words addressed, that you may learn wisdom and that you may not sin. For those who keep the holy precepts, hallowed shall be found holy. Those who keep the holy precepts, hallowed shall be found holy, and those learned in them will have ready a response. In the difficult situations, it's the person who's grounded in truth, grounded in wisdom, grounded in the word of God, who will have a response ready for those willing to hear. Those are my words. Desire, therefore, says the book of wisdom, desire, therefore, my words, long for them, and you shall be instructed. May you do that, brothers and sisters. Long for his word, long for his wisdom. Read it every day. Psalm 82, rise up, O God, bring judgment to the earth. Defend the lowly and the fatherless. Render justice to the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the lowly and the poor from the hand of the wicked. Deliver them. May God bring us, brothers and sisters, to our knees, to a recognition and acknowledgement that we can't really do anything that will last without him, that we need to imbibe his principles, his standards, his way of looking at things and dealing with things, his way of relating to other people. Make it your own. The graces of all the sacraments are there to do exactly that. God wants to supply for you. He waits, but he never violates your free will, so he will never force the truth on you. He offers it, and he waits for you to open your heart to receive it. May you do so. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, as Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. I mean, why were they asking for pity? They were lepers. They were ostracized. They had nothing. They had to be totally separate, so they couldn't even be with their families. They were out there alone, and they had to make a way for themselves. Nobody wanted to be near them because they would catch the disease. Think about that. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Notice he just said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, as they obeyed God, though they didn't know necessarily that it was God, but as they obeyed Jesus, what happens? They were cleansed. It was in the act of being obedient to Jesus that they were made well. And one of them, there were 10, one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice, and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Do you return to give thanks when God answers your prayer? Do you turn and give thanks when something wonderful happens to you very unexpectedly? Do you cling to God when you're in difficulty, when you're ostracized, when people don't want to be around you anymore because of something you've done or some sickness you endure? You feel abandoned and alone. Do you turn to Him? Do you come to Him? Do you ask Him for help? He waits for you. And so this man, one man, came back. He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. Jesus is making a point here. You might follow the law in all its respect. You may be looked upon with admiration by others. But where's your heart? That's the question. Are you just following God because it's giving you some kind of status or some kind of praise? Has your pride taken over? But here's this Samaritan who had no connection to Jews, and Jews didn't have any connection to the Samaritans. They stayed far away from one another. But he came back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and thanked him. And Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? This, brothers and sisters, familiar gospel, this really needs to be paid attention to. When good things happen to you, little breakthroughs, a kindness shown you, a major miracle, do you turn and give thanks to God? And do you continue to give thanks to God? Or you just say, thanks, God, and walk away? How do you thank God when good things happen to you? Think about that. We write thank you cards to people. We might give gifts to people when something good has happened to us for the part they played. How do we render thanks to God? What gifts of ourselves do we give Him? What decisions do we make to follow Him more closely, to become even more like Him? How do we show our gratitude? Not just thanks, God, but Lord, thank you for coming to me. Thank you for revealing yourself to me in this way. Thank you for the good thing that has happened to me. How can I follow you more closely? How can I develop a more grateful heart? Oh, brothers and sisters, ask God to give you the grace to grow in gratitude. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.